Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmanfly.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, chase your destiny. By my favorite travel agency, PremiumPlus-Sports.com. By USA-Swimrun.com. If you haven't grabbed a buddy and tried a swim run event, you should do that. It's one of the coolest new concepts out there in endurance sports. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We sent out this year 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, he is the president of California Triathlon. And they've got a couple of awesome events coming up. Newport Dunes Triathlon on November 4th. And a week before that is Trick or Try on October 27th. Tom Richmond, how the heck you doing, Tommy?
Mr. Babbitt, how are you, sir?
I am wonderful. We did Spring Sprint today. Not Spring Sprint. The Mission Bay Triathlon. Cause Enterprises, that event was the first ever triathlon back in 1974 and had about 1,500 people out there. And as you know, and we're both on the same page on this, it's all about growing the sport and getting more people to love what we both consider the fountain of youth and the greatest sport there is.
Well, I just wanted to thank you. When I was in Los Angeles and San Diego a couple months ago, you gave me an autographed version of your new book, and it is sitting on my shelf right in front of me. Thank you.
Nah, not a problem. Hey, and so Tom, talk a little bit about with California Triathlon. You're not just in California now. Fill me in on how many different chapters you have, how many how many members.
So we actually California Triathlon started in 2010, primarily Southern California. And now we have approaching 5,000 members all throughout the country. I actually live in Virginia. Our volunteer coordinator lives in Wisconsin. We have athletes and resources all over the country. So primarily, we have two parts: the team side, which is a 501c3 nonprofit, and then we've added within the last couple of years, 3 years ago, we added our event side. So the way I think about it is California Triathlon is a team and a club. And on the other side of that is our events, CalTri events. And we've gone from doing our first race, Trick or Try in 2015, to four races now on the calendar, soon to be eight races. And again, both of the mission of the event side and the team side is to try to make the sport more affordable, accessible, and sustainable.
What's fascinating to me is there's a business model for New York Roadrunners, right? New York Roadrunners Club puts on events basically every weekend. I think multiple events every single weekend. And people join New York Roadrunners, and they are, you know, a part of the club. At the same time, they're doing all the events. And you're modeling California Triathlon basically after New York Roadrunners, correct?
Yes, and to be honest, I wish that somebody had told me to do that a few years ago. I wouldn't have wasted so much time.
Right. Yeah, because the deal is, what you want as a club is you want people racing, right? The more people race, the more they train, the more involved they are in the club, the more equipment they buy, and you're basically taking out the middleman and saying, you know what, we're going to own our own events, and hopefully we'll grow our club, and obviously you've done that. And people will be participating in the event, so we know they're committed, right? It's not like you have people coming in and leaving. They come in and they stay, and there's all sorts of different options for them. If it's your epic rides, if it's the events themselves, the Trick or Try or Newport Dunes. Talk a little bit about what you've learned. Like you said, you wish you had done this earlier. What's been the advantage of creating your own events?
So, you know, with the event side, we've been able to, the formula is for instance, with Trick or Try on, you know, which is going to race October 27th and then Newport Dunes November 4th, we've actually started putting clinics 6 months out.
Right.
So 6 months prior, we have a monthly clinic. It's a three-hour clinic. We've had really good coach clinics. They're all free. It's an hour of swim, an hour of bike, an hour of run, all coached. And some of those clinics will get as many as 125 to 150 athletes there.
Wow.
If you have enough events, you almost have a clinic every weekend. So there's something to do. So, you know, that's really important. I would say in terms of involving other groups and clubs, you know, I'm looking right now at what I think will be a sold-out Trick or Try and what I think will be a sold-out Newport. And we see companies like Vincent and UCLA and Triathlon Training Team and Time Warner and the Getty Trust and Team Red, White, and Blue and SCAC, which is Southern California Aquatics, and, you know, the Korean Athletic Triathlon Team. And there's this great group out in Canyon Lake. They're bringing 22 people, and Phil Antry and City of Hope. And, you know, I can keep going down the list. These folks are starting to use these events to as center points for on their calendar. So I was really initially concerned that about two things when we started putting races on, and that was, would it be perceived as a club race, meaning would it be exclusive,
right,
and or would it be low quality? And now that we're in our fourth year of Trick or Try and our first year of Newport, we've answered those questions, and it's nice to have you know, individuals and other groups make an investment in our race.
When I look at what we call the endurance entertainment marketplace, right? Years ago, we had running, triathlon, and Grand Fondo cycling, you know, 100-miler type of things. And then mountain biking came along. But when you look at triathlon, and now in the endurance entertainment space, we've got Tough Mudder, Warrior Dash, Color Run. There's a lot of other options. And when you look at triathlon, triathlon can be expensive. The swims can scare the crap out of people. You need to have a bike of some sort. Entry fees are really high. You've got to block off city streets. So we've seen the numbers going down. But you and Cause Events, like I said, Cause Events had 1,500 today at the Mission Bay Tri. They follow your model a little bit from doing clinics and things like that. In this social media age where everybody thinks if I send something out on Facebook, that's going to do everything to fill up my event, you're still doing the hard yards. You're doing the clinics. You're doing the rest. How important is that to keep triathlon vibrant?
So that's exactly right. So 55% of our athletes are, from an insurance point of view, a one-day license type of folks. They're not say USAT annual members. They're relatively new. I would say that 35 or 40% are doing their first race. And from a safety point of view, we want to make sure they know the course, that they're trained, that they have resources, that they can, you know, make it a better day for them. Make it an annual experience versus a 1 day experience. And that all starts with when they register, they get a phone call. And in many cases, these athletes have been racing, you know, if they are experienced, you know, 15, 20 years, 30 years, they've never gotten a phone call. I did hear the other day, I think there was a gentleman in New York, John Korb, who I've never met, who did that.
For New York Tri, yeah, that's how John built that event to 6,500 people. Called every one of them. Every person who signed up for his event, either before or after, and just thanked them for being involved.
And that's the right way to do it. And those conversations have two impacts. One, it lets them know they have somebody there. We're not just looking at a one-day relationship. It provides, you know, here are all the resources that are available. So I'll give you an example, and I think it's, you know, one of the best deals going. If you look at Newport Dunes or Trick or Try, you're looking at, we started with a $50 sprint, a $75 Olympic, and a $75 Olympic relay. And you start looking at that and say, wait a second, how can the Olympic and the Olympic relay be the same when you're giving out, you know, two more shirts, two more medals? Normally, that's an opportunity if you're looking at it from a business point of view, to increase your margin, if that's what your goal is, if you're not a nonprofit. But we know that people come into the sport that way, so we want to incentivize. We don't want to push them out of the sport by having them pay an extra $50, $100 for a relay. For our races, you've got a, and I go down the feature set, you've got a swim, which is not an ocean swim. You know, you've got an inland swim.
Right.
You've got either a lake or a lagoon. So we're not going to have, 5 foot, 6 foot surf that day and that kind of thing. Check. We do rolling starts. So with rolling starts versus wave starts, it's a lot easier for these beginners not to get, kicked in the head.
Right.
We have a closed bike course. Every race we do has a closed bike course. So there's no opportunity for you to be, for there to be a car and an athlete hit each other. That you take that off the board and it's a much safer event. Then we do some pretty special things. We bring in, I'm not sure if you're aware of T-blocks, but we bring in that VIP transition system into our races. So it's not the typical racks. Again, we do the free monthly coach clinics. At the end of the race, there's free race photos. There's free coaching available. We have a program for beginners for free coaching. All of our volunteers get a free race entry to a future event through our Volunteer One, Get One program. And then on this year, we actually have on-site camping RVs and bungalows for all of our races as well. So you can kind of turn your race into a weekend. And when you can do all that, for an initial early bird price of $50 or $75, that's where our races are selling out.
You also give people, I love the salad bar aspect of triathlon. Like what you're doing when you're doing Newport Beach, you're doing an Olympic, you're doing an Olympic aqua bike, Olympic relay, sprint. So, somebody's a little injured, they can still be involved. They can't run right now. Hey, swim bike, done, right? You can do that. You can do the triathlon. You can bring a couple buddies and do a relay. And then for trick or try, you've got a 70.3 and an Olympic, an Olympic relay, an Olympic aqua bike, a sprint, a 5K and a 10K. So you've added even more options, salad bar-wise, for that event. Have you found that, hey, if I get 50, 60 folks, it's still brand new people to my world?
Yeah, so that's right. And we're actually excited about next year. We're already planning next year, which we typically try to launch our, we'll launch our 2019 races on race day in 2018 where possible. And we're actually looking to expand that. Not to the point where I would call it the Build-A-Bear Triathlon, but for instance, next year we'll have sprint relays for the first time, so that folks who just want to swim 300 yards, or just want to 300 or 400 yards, or just want to bike 8 miles and be involved, can do that as well.
So that brings up a very interesting point. We have a governing body, USA Triathlon, whose job it is to grow the sport. One of the ways you grow the sport is by putting on relays or encouraging race directors to put on a relay. Now, if you're putting on a relay, like you've got a relay that you're charging $75 or whatever it happens to be, $25 each for somebody to be on a relay team, that person is incurring a cost of a one-day license of $15 each, which is prohibitive for someone to be doing the relay. Do you feel you're getting help and support from USA Triathlon to grow your events?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think it takes a longer answer, so
that's
I apologize
okay.
In advance, but USA Triathlon, relative to our races, has been, our general liability insurance broker.
Uh-huh.
So from a race director point of view, it's pretty easy. You pay $225 and you're set up with insurance. The athlete, the burden of the cost goes to the athlete. And so when I looked at Trick or Try in year three, we had 825 registrations across all distances, and when I divided that by the number of athletes, it was about $15 per athlete. So it was a combination of the one days, which was $15, plus the folks that were renewing, but on average, I guess they would do maybe, you know, three races. So their cost is about $15. So what the impact on that is that when I have a beginner and I have them do the 5K on my course, mm-hmm. and it's a $25 fee, it's $25 if they're just doing the 5K. But when I have them do that same 5K as part of the Olympic, which is a $75 fee split three ways, it's $25 plus they have to pay the $15 one-day fee. So the net out-of-the-door price for an Olympic relay is not $75. It's $75 plus $15 plus $15 plus $15. It's $120. It's about a 60% margin, or pardon me, markup. And for the sprint, yeah. it's $50 and the $15 mark. So it's obviously about a 30%. And anything that you have, you know, anything between 30 and 60% increase, it's significant. And I think it depresses participation and dependence and participation in our events.
I couldn't agree more. And one of my big pushes to Rocky and the folks at USA Triathlon is, I think there should be a graduation on, if I'm doing an Olympic or a sprint, it should be a $5 one-day license. And if I'm doing a 70.3, it should be 10. If I'm doing an Ironman, it should be 15. Because think about it, Ironman is a 17-hour day. A 70.3 could be a 8.5, 9-hour day. And then for Sprint Olympic, that's anywhere from depending on the exact distance of the event, from a 45-minute to a 3.5-hour event. It just seems that insurance should be graduated. Has that ever come up with USA Tri, and what is their reaction to it?
It has. I mean, I know that you brought it up. Yep. I know that other race directors, myself, I brought it up to Barry and Rocky and the crew. And I know there's been thoughts there. I look at, just to say, a 15-hour Ironman, mm-hmm. just as a number, if they're paying $15. So they're paying about a dollar per hour for insurance.
That's a good number.
If you look at a sprint relay, which we're going to have next year, and that's a really short distance, so maybe it's an hour participation, each of the three folks in that would pay $15, $15, and $15. So that's about $45 per hour of entertainment. So that's a 45x multiple. And so for me, it was like, why are we as a organization putting the burden more heavily on the places where the beginners are coming into the sport, which is short course and relays?
Right.
And I think they're going to have to align themselves to get that sorted out. So we have decided, for next year, for all of our races, except Iron Bruin, which has the West Coast championship with working with UCLA, we've decided to have our own insurance and go through the private route through insurance so that there's no additional fees. So the cost of the insurance is baked into the cost of the race entry. And that's a decision that'll allow us to do sprint relays without negatively impacting those athletes and Olympics and all of our distances.
So one of the reasons people, obviously the governing body of the sport, they oversee, we're in the Olympics now, we're in the Paralympics now, and USA Tri oversees national championships like the Cleveland race, and there's a lot of folks who want to put on the American colors and go and race in Omaha or Cleveland and hopefully go to Lausanne or the Gold Coast and race for the U.S., but they can't do that if they're racing on events that are unsanctioned. Are you concerned about losing some participants?
Yes. I mean, there's going to be athletes that are going to say, I have picked your race because I want to, as an example, go to Cleveland.
Right.
Or I want to pick your race because I need three scores to be in the final rankings for the end of the year, to be in a book, the final rankings
right.
book.
Uh-huh.
But we haven't put USA Triathlon on our homepage or on our websites for 2 years. And I would say that there have been 5 or 10 inquiries a year of, is it a USAT sanctioned race? You know, from a financial point of view, for a trick or try event last year, as an example,
yeah,
there was $11,000 that went from the athletes
to USA
Triathlon.
Wow! And the reality
it wasn't
is
coming from the race director. It comes from the athletes. The race director actually incurs a hidden fee in that we have the triage of if USAT system's down. And they can't register for the race. You know, we're out of business, and that happened several times this year. Or perhaps their insurance expires before the event day. You know, explaining how that works and triaging that is pretty heavy on our backs.
So you end up doing a lot of the basically the reaching out to the consumer to explain why you're getting hit for $15, why your annual fee needs to be redone when it's not really, that doesn't go to you. That just goes to USA Triathlon.
That's right. And the cost that we have figured out, when we'll be insuring next year, our cost for insuring it isn't, again, it was 825 athletes with about $11,000. So it was almost $15 per athlete, dividing it out. Our cost is about $3. So we can incorporate that $3 in the cost. So, Bob, when you want to go into our sprint next year,
yes,
and it's $50, and you know, we open up registration, you know, October 27th for next year, it's $50. When you want to do the Olympic, it's $75. When you want to do the relay and you bring two of your friends, instead of paying, you know, you would pay $75 for the race entry and $45 for USAT fees, you're going to pay $75. So you're not going to get hit with that 60% markup on that Olympic relay.
Yeah, it's interesting because the reality is not only are the athletes paying $15, your database is going to USA Triathlon. Everybody who registers for that event is now a part of USA Triathlon in one way or another, either one-day license or an annual member. And now those people are being invited, when they do qualify for nationals in Cleveland, they're invited to go to Cleveland. Your folks, basically the folks who are participating in your event, who you've recruited, now those folks are being invited to an event out of town when you might have another event that they aren't going to participate in because they're off in Cleveland.
People have been self-insuring for years. A couple different companies that we worked with and we're working with, USLI as an example, is one of those companies. They're owned by Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway.
Right.
That is a significant resource. And there's enough companies out there that can do it. We were afraid of data leakage. You know, we are, as a race director, required to do two things. We're supposed to, we provide that data to USAT, which then gets marketed against us.
Right. To other,
and then secondly, 15 days after the event, we're also supposed to send in results and also any accident report that happened. Two things. One, I'd love to see those accident reports published, because that would help consumers make better decisions on what races are safe. As an example, we have a closed bike course. For 3 years, we've never had a major issue at any of our races. That's not always the case. We'd love to be known for that. The second part is, you know, Lifetime a couple of years ago, they moved away, and the original thought was, hey, if Lifetime's going to self-sanction, I mean, they're a billion-dollar company, self-sanction, they have big pockets, what will the impact be? And this year, you know, their Chicago race had 9,000 people, and their New York race had 6,000 people, and they're growing like a weed.
Right.
So it can be done. It has been done. We're not, you know, not open to, you know, going back and looking at, you know, USAT's insurance business in the future. But for now, it just doesn't meet the needs of the folks that are getting into the space. And folks are not getting into the sport because of these additional fees that we're incurring.
when we look at triathlon, one of the reasons the sport's been successful, Ironman 70.3, people traveling, filling up hotel rooms, destination events. Your model's a little different. You want people to be able to stay close to home. You want people to be home by noon, right? You want to keep these events sprint, Olympic, short. Why did you go that direction when really the world, most coaches aren't getting coaching business from people doing sprint and Olympic races. They're getting coaching business for people going long. Why did you go this direction?
So we do have the 70.3 in a trick or try in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. And we wanted to see if you put a closed course 70.3 in Los Angeles with a beer garden, and you start that at $100, what will that mean? And I do think, you know, when you refer to Ironman, they have a great brand. People are willing to go far and wide. But when you start digging into the demographics, average household income is $60,000 around the country. USATs, I think, is in the 125 range. And WTC or Ironman announced their average household income, published income, is $247,000. Well, that's top 2%, and there's definitely a market for that where, you know, it's a heads-in-bed strategy, which, you know, being part of competitor group, you're very familiar with selling that model.
Yes.
And what that means. Our goal is to get people into the sport, and the more complicated you make it, the less likely they're going to get involved. So in your run-up, you said swim-run. And that's something that we have multiple swim run events we're going to be announcing, not now, but for next year. And from the swim run event, you take out the bike.
Yes. And the roads. Yes.
The road costs, and folks can get a pretty good, endorphin rush and experience doing a swim run. It's a great platform. So, you know, I think you have to look at providing stuff for everybody in the pyramid and not just the top, 2% or 10%.
So when you first put on Trick or Try, I think that was just a few years ago, 2015.
You were there.
I was there. Yeah, brought Lucas Verzbikas. It was really, I thought it was a great event. I loved Santa Fe Dam, one of my favorite places. So what did you learn from that? Obviously, I tell people all the time when they say, hey, I want to put on a race and, I want to raise money for charity. I always tell them, go do a bake sale. You have no idea. Waking up in the morning and knowing you're responsible for the lives of 800 to 1,000 people is not a good thing. I mean, that's hard. You found that out. What did you learn from that first race director experience?
I think the first one was a good comment that you made was, everybody went home safely.
That's all that matters at the end of the day, right? Yeah.
And then we're really fortunate. I was looking at the data this year for who's coming back and for their fourth year. So who's a legacy? And as part of that, we do some special things for folks that have done our race every year. And that number is, is a nice size number. And those are people who have said, I really like it. I want to do it again. I'm going to sign up as soon as I can. I think the two things that we've learned is you have to, keep it changing a little bit. Like last year, this year we're adding a camping option. So the night before, you can camp at Trick or Try right next to the water's edge, right next, 20 yards from your rack area for $20 a car.
Love it.
We'll have s'mores, food trucks, and it's just, it's the way it should be. And so that's a great option in Southern California. I don't know many options where you can do that. And we're doing that both for Trick or Try and, in Newport. The second one is we added rolling starts this year, which are helpful for the beginners and folks who don't want to, have all that congestion in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of things. Every year you just have to add something and keep it fresh. And those are the kind of things we've been doing. But I would say put on a great race. Make the decisions as a race director as you're an athlete. Like, what would you like as an athlete? And I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell people no. But there's two places where sometimes I tell people no. One of which is, you know, we made a policy that we, you know, our model doesn't support refunds and transfers and those kind of things. We just don't have the bandwidth to deal with all that, you know, coming into the race. But that's really hard when you get the note that said, hey, I'm injured or I've got to travel or there's some reason I can't do it. You know, what can be done? The second one is I want to do a Build-A-Bear relay with this distance. You know, I want to do the long bike, but the short swim,
right,
but the medium thing.
Yeah.
And can somebody travel with me? And can I do this? Can I do that? It's the exceptions will kill you. And so I try to limit the exceptions, not be inflexible. You know, maybe consider it in the off season, but certainly limit the exceptions because there's just too many moving parts on race day.
The other thing you've added, I think this year, or no, maybe you did it last year, I'm not positive. You have your own timing company now. And what led to that?
We do. We have a 5-point active IPCO timing company. And it was really due to the need to have availability of timing to have your dates. And then also be able to add things like, you know, a fourth timing mat or a fifth timing mat so you could do rolling starts. And to have that control and that tight integration with our race registration partner, RaceReach. And so it allows us to do that. And we didn't do it in a vacuum. We actually did the timing this year for tri-events, tri-events 1, 2, and 3 in March, April, May. We'll do that in October. We were up at Big Bear this summer. We did that there. And then obviously at our other events. So our timing company has increased the number of races, and again, it's typically a really large expense for a race, and we attacked that largest expense by creating a timing company, and now we know we can get our dates, we know we can get a good price, and we know we can have the customization that we want. And by the way, all this. Just to say
yeah.
this, because you're much better at this than I am, we couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for our partners. I'll give you an example. Miller Coors is based basically right next to our Trek or Tri course. Performance Bike, which is, you know, 105 shops all over the country, they have been supporting us for years and continues to support to us. Things like free tune-ups in their stores and 30% off of Fuji Kestrel and those kind of things. And then finally this year, we also added BMW North America as a sponsor for all of our events. And because of those dollars, it's basically back in the 80s and the 90s, I think, when I wasn't racing, but you were racing, and
yeah.
you had some big companies back there that said, we want to be associated with this. And the race directors were using those dollars to keep the costs down.
Right.
And so I have to thank companies like, you know, Performance Bike and Miller Coors and BMW for their participation. Without them, we couldn't make it happen.
Earlier, you were talking about Lifetime Fitness. And Lifetime Fitness is obviously a chain of facilities around the country. Each one is about 250,000 square feet. They're spectacular. And they own New York City Triathlon, Chicago Triathlon, South Beach Triathlon, just a number of big events around the country. And you mentioned they had about 24,000 participants this year. Out of that 24,000, when they left USA Triathlon, dollar-wise, what type of impact do you think that was?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're public or private. But if they have the same type of numbers as say a Trick or Try would mm-hmm. be or Newport, we're probably talking $14 to $15 an athlete. So at $15 an athlete, if it was 24,000 athletes, that's close to $350,000 a year.
Yes.
Over a 10-year period, that actually adds up to real money.
Right, and really out of that, what 80% falls to the bottom line. Probably.
Well, for us, it is. For us, it'll be somewhere around $3 an athlete versus $15 an athlete. So, yeah, about 20%, 80% of that would be falling to the bottom line. So I think that, you know, again, with us, this year, next year combined, maybe we have 3,000 athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's what we end up having. You know, companies like Lifetime, who are, you know, dropped to 24,000 athletes, 25,000 athletes, you know, they should probably be getting more attention. And I think that if more companies, race companies, start looking at, you know, the concept of doing their own insurance, I mean, it goes back and forth, and trying to figure out, you know, what makes sense for their business. USA Triathlon is going to have to respond with something like you indicated, you know, $5 for a sprint, $10 for an Olympic. I don't know how they're going to handle, I don't know, as a race director, I've talked to a lot of race directors, you know, all through the country,
yeah.
and specifically in California. None of them, I haven't met one yet that is super happy that USA Triathlon is in the race production business. Because it feels like they're competing, and it feels like they're competing using their database.
Using your own database. They're basically...
Correct.
If they're putting on an event in Long Beach in next summer, that database
yep.
is going to come from your events, Jonathan Pauley's events, from Carolyn's events at Benelli Park.
Cause events.
It's going to come from there, and those folks are going to go do an event that could be, you know, same time frame as one of your events. It's interesting, when I was talking to people in Cleveland, race directors were talking about, you know, hey, their numbers around that area in August had dropped significantly. Steve Tomboni and other folks like that were saying that they knew that having an event is, when you drop an event in a part of the country with a small window where you've got, you know, mid-June to maybe mid-September, and you take a weekend and bring 5,000 people in, a lot of them are going to be not doing the race director in the East Coast or in Cleveland or other areas, not going to do those events. They're going to go do the shiny, you know, the new shiny toy that's coming to this area.
Yes, and so it's interesting to see if USA Triathlon being in the race production business, what that impact is to with other races. Now, I know USAT outsources a lot of the races to race directors. There's a bidding process around the country, and that's a separate type of thing. But the Long Beach race, that event is a USAT run and operated
yes.
event.
Yep.
And you know, if you have a races in the area, you know, I don't think any of these race directors mind competition, but I don't think they'd like that competition, you know, with their database being utilized.
Yeah. I think that's definitely an issue. And you've got your national championship in Cleveland, and then you've got the, you know, the event here, and I'm sure there's other events throughout the year that are also that USA Triathlon is putting on their own events.
And nothing
yeah.
against Cleveland. Like I'm
yeah.
not going to bang on Cleveland. I have in the past with the Cuyahoga catching on fire, as you know, just a joke. I hear Cleveland's a fine place to go. But it's been in Cleveland. It was in Omaha. It was in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Again, really nice places. But it's rarely in what I would call I wouldn't call Cleveland
no.
or Omaha a destination event.
No.
These things aren't being held in New York, California, you know, Texas, Florida. They're being held in places which are typically not destination events. So I'm not sure why that is.
They pay.
It's also, you know, getting on the club side,
yeah.
and maybe
yeah.
you have more context than I do. You know, I think the doing a 7 to 10 day event with all the different events is interesting, kind of like they did in Canada.
Right, in Penticton, yep.
For us as a club side, it's really difficult. You know, do you go to the Aquathon? You know, I was down in March for the Duathlon Nationals in Greenville. But then you've got to go to some other place the next month. And so where do you put those resources? If it was more of an event like Penticton, that would be more of a draw.
Yeah. And if you know, the reality is, you know that Cleveland is paying a fee and Omaha is paying a fee because that's really where the Olympic and sprint distances are. They do transfer to heads and beds for a national championship. It becomes a big deal and people are traveling and they go there, which I think is great. But again, not at the expense of the race directors who are funding. They're the pillar that you need to build your USA Triathlon needs to be built on. If you were making a recommendation to USA Triathlon, and you know, how could they better serve the race director and the end user, the participant?
Well, the three or four things that I would say, and you know, maybe even I'll put a follow up to you in a note, is to have their fee be a variable fee, and if that's, you know, $5 for a sprint and $10 for an Olympic and $15 for long cars, you know, that certainly goes in the right direction. I would think that their goals, bringing new people in, recognizing those come in through short course, through relay, should align with their business policies.
Yes.
So, for instance, relays, a relay should be $15.
Yes, I agree.
Not 15, you know, not each. 15, 15, and 15. So doing those kind of things would be good. I think having that Penticton-like experience would be excellent for the athletes. I mean, I think that would benefit the athletes. You go back to safety. I go back to safety as a number one thing. And from a safety point of view, I had talked with Barry Siff and with Rocky Harris in March down in Greenville. They were kind enough to meet with me for a few minutes. And we had talked about, you know, the race director data that was sent to them relative to incident reports.
Mm-hmm.
That data should be made available so that myself as a consumer, if I'm looking at four or five races, I can see if there's been a history of it's been a safe race or there's been some issues, and I can make decisions on that. And those would probably be the main recommendations that I would make to a USA Triathlon.
So you're putting on a new event, Newport Dunes Triathlon. There's been a triathlon there for four decades, and this is a new event. And you know, so when you come in to an area that's had a triathlon, a lot of times there's baggage, right? There's people who are. What have you? And again, this goes back to the whole ranking thing, and I don't know if any race director has ever been turned away from a sanction from USA Triathlon. If the check clears, they're sanctioned. So if that's the case, and talk a little bit about what you had to overcome bringing a triathlon to an area where maybe they didn't have the happiest of experiences.
Well, let's talk about something really interesting. You know, that's a great point. If you look at Orange County, which has 3 million people, this year there will be three traditional road triathlons.
Mm-hmm.
In April, there was the Escape Huntington Beach first-year race. There was the OC Triathlon in June. It's been around for a while. And then there's Newport Dunes on November 4th.
Right.
Two of those races are first-year. So if those two first-year races didn't happen, a county in Southern California with 3 million people would have had one race this year. And wrap your head around that.
Well, so, yeah. What I was going to say is you've got one of the things we always deal with is the cities go, especially along the coast, they go, listen, we don't need the business during the summer. We're full. Our hotels are full. We don't want to block off any roads on the coast. You get that type of thing where other parts of the country are looking for the business.
Right. And I have found, like, I've been working with the Newport Dunes Resort, which is a beautiful facility in Newport Beach, the city of Newport Beach. They had reached out to us, to me, you know, last year we had actually done some buyer beware for the past race.
Mm-hmm.
So for folks who aren't aware, the Newport Dunes Triathlon, it's the inaugural race.
First time.
The Newport Beach Triathlon, in a similar venue, it had been going on for 39 years, I think with a couple years on and
right.
off.
Right, yep.
And that race ran into trouble because of issues, and you know that's been very well documented.
Yes. Yep.
So, you know, for us, we were excited to put that race on Newport Dunes, but there have been still a lot of folks in market that are confused because when you've had a race, another race in the area with a bad reputation, that multiple years in a row. took money, and then, you know, in this year, you know, it didn't happen. Did folks get their money back? You know, and I'll bottom line this for everybody. Active took, you know, was the vendor record.
Active.com, the Active registration,
For registration. And they put a race up for 2018 Newport Beach. And for months, we all, you know, we knew that there was very little likelihood that race was going to happen. You know, you'd talk with the city, you'd talk with the venue, you'd go to the website, and there was nothing there that was, reliable information. Folks would register for it, and then the race didn't happen. And, you know, would athletes get their money back? And when you have a beginner, and I've had these conversations with many athletes in the area and trying to help them have a positive experience out of this by helping them out, getting them into Newport Dunes, they said, hey, I went to a website. Active was there selling it. USA Triathlon's logo was there. It's a USA Triathlon event. I went to USA Triathlon sanctioning area, and it was listed. For somebody who doesn't know, this looks legit.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think that's one of the things that USA Triathlon is going to have to figure out as well is you know, regulating the folks that they associate with.
Yeah, if you're sanctioning it, people look at that's credibility. If it says USA Triathlon on there, you assume that one, it's safe, and two, it's legitimate. It's a real deal, and especially when you have a combination of Active.com and USA Triathlon. But that Active.com finally pulled those events off the website, correct?
They did. They pulled that event, and there was other event in Long Beach.
Right.
And I don't think that event is happening either. So, you know, eventually it sorts its way out. But, you know, I can print a stack of notes from and letters, and there's social media online that said, you know, it took half a dozen inquiries to get their money back, if they ever got their money back at all. And so that's unfortunate. But luckily, you know, like I said, for this year, Newport Dunes race, you know, we look to sell out at 750 registrations for our first year.
Wow.
I keep using the word inaugural inaugural.
Yep.
So when somebody has a complaint about previous years or somebody had a deferral they need to use, this is our inaugural year. You know, hopefully you'll come out and have a great time.
So, Tommy, if people want to find out more about California Triathlon and your events, again, you've got Newport Dunes Triathlon is on the 4th of November, and a week before that, Trick or Try, October 27th. Is it easiest just go to californiatriathlon.org, or should they go to individual websites?
It is. You go to californiatriathlon.org. At the very top, you click on races, and it's all set. We have a lot of registration coming in right now, and I think both of those races will sell out. We won't have race day registration for either one of them. I do hope that people are taking advantage of, for instance, the kids at UCLA for Iron Bruin. We have a February 23rd event at Santa Fe Dam, closed course. There's a ITU draft legal race, as well as an age group sprint to kick the season off in Southern California. And then we actually have opened up on April 7th in beautiful Griffith Park, a 5K, 10K, and a half trail run with Viking Dash Trail Run LA. And, you know, the half, it's all in Griffith Park. It's gorgeous. And so the half is 3,000 feet of climbing.
Whoa.
In a 13-mile run. So it's all that in a bag of chips. And when you finish, you'll get a 5-pound medal. It's almost as glorious as your "thank God I'm not racing" medal in Kona that I got a couple years ago.
Exactly. Legendary. So, with the camping, how many folks do you feel you're going to have for camp? I love that idea. That goes back to Wildflower and the whole festival, and people get closer to each other, and it becomes a happening. You bring the family. Talk a little bit about what you'll be having for both facilities, or both events.
So, at both locations, we have tent camping, the ability to do dry land RV. So RV. So there's no connection. There's ability to have RVs, and then at Newport they actually have an RV park. And then down at Newport, there's bungalows.
Oh,
so
sweet.
What the experience we look to have, I think the perfect experience, is you come in on Friday afternoon, you pick up your packet, or Saturday, the day before the race, you pick up your packet, whether that's Friday or Saturday, and you you stay the night. You either do cook yourself. There's food trucks. We'll do s'mores. We're actually going to do a movie at each one of the two events, kids movie, more than likely Goonies, maybe something like that.
Sweet.
And then the next morning you wake up and you just walk over to transition. It just makes the whole day good. You don't have to pay any VIP. And again, for $20 for a car for Trick or Try and $20 per person at Newport, that's a really, really good benefit, considering, like, as an example, at Newport, you know, all the houses around Newport, you know, you're going to be racing, you know, $2-4 million homes that, you know, you're going to be seeing those. So in order to keep it affordable and accessible, you know, it's nice for the very first year to have camping options at both of those locations. We hope we see you at one or two of those races.
I think I've done every Trick or Try. I'm not positive. I think it's, I don't think I've missed any of those.
This year we also have Rudy Von Berg. We have a partnership with Ride, Ride Your Dreams, Kelly Lang, if you're familiar. And Rudy Von Berg is a ride athlete, as well as Holly Lawrence. My understanding is Holly Lawrence is going to make her comeback at Trick or Try.
Nice.
So we've had great athletes, like, to your point, we had Lucas Verspeekis in the first year. And I guess one last pitch, if I can, for Trick or Try is, a lot of folks wear costumes because it's Halloween week, and we have a pretty good, you know, costume contest, and we get behind that pretty well. And so hopefully folks will enjoy that and bring out their families and have a good time.
Very cool. Any good snacks?
The night before?
Yeah. Are you doing s'mores?
The night before, you're gonna probably see me on the grill, a bunch of us on the grill making some food, and then we've had in the past our food trucks come in with great Southern California food.
Love it. Hey, Tommy, I appreciate everything you're doing to grow the sport. I think it's, you know, I think that Ironman's doing a phenomenal job on Ironman 70.3, but the lifeblood of our sport is entry-level events, getting people in at a reasonable cost. And actually, that's the other thing. When I look at the longer distance, I think it's routinely 70% men, 30% women. I'm guessing that your demographics, and I've seen it with the pool triathlon events that I've been involved with, really skew more 50-50, if not even more women sometimes.
California triathlon, the team is definitely more women than men.
Really?
And, yes. And in terms of these short course races, we work really hard to get that number as close as we can to 50-50. So,
that's awesome.
It's definitely, there's a lot of ladies out there working hard, and we encourage them as much as possible to come out and race.
Love it. Hey, Tommy, thanks so much for your time. I'm sure we'll be seeing you when you're back out here in California.
See you on October 27th.
I love it. Again, Tom Richmond has been our guest. You can go to californiatriathlon.org for Trick or Try on October 27th. And Newport Dunes Triathlon, the inaugural Newport Dunes Triathlon, November 4th, 2018. Every event that Tom puts on is spectacular. It's all closed course, a closed bike course, and it's all about safety and enjoying what I consider the greatest sport out there. Again, we're brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, by Polar, Chase Your Destiny, Swim Run USA. It sounds like Tommy's going to be doing a swim run event, so you need to check that out as well. USA-swimrun.com. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, I'm proud to say, in our 25th year, we've sent out 23,000 grants, raised over $100 million. It's been a great ride. October 21st is our 25th annual San Diego Triathlon Challenge. If you haven't been there, come out and give us a try. Check out any of our interviews on babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives